Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. I thank you for your word, Lord, which comes and shares with us your will. You who created the first marriage and every marriage since, and whose heart it is to see us get all the blessings that you intend, I pray that you would use me this morning to present your will in the form of love and respect. Open the hearts, Lord, of these who listen, and give us a blessing such as we've never seen before. In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago, I was listening to a Focus on the Family program, and I was very impressed by what I was hearing. I'd never heard of the person before, a guy by the name of Emerson Eggerichs, and didn't impress me too much, except that the more he spoke, the more impressed I was with what he was trying to say. I don't order too many CDs of what I hear in the radio, but I decided that day to do it because after it was over, and I was hearing it, it ought to have been played earlier that year, now it's being played again, they came on and said that at the end of that year, the most requested program of any Focus on the Family program that year was this program. And so I went ahead and got the CD. It's called Respect, a Marriage Essential. And they said that this particular CD and this presentation had touched the hearts of so many people. This was addressed to express the heart of men. And they had reports of men driving down the road listening to this who got halfway through this and were so impressed that someone would express their heart this way, they were pulling over to the side of the road because tears were streaming down their face and they couldn't believe somebody was voicing their concern that way. And when I heard that and I understood what God was doing through this, I decided I better get the book. And so I went out and ordered the Love and Respect book. And as I read through this, I began to understand then how God was using Emerson Eggerichs in a mighty powerful way, and I started to pray that God would continue to spread this message. At the time that the book came out, there wasn't any DVD series, there wasn't any conference, he just published the book. But as demand grew for this, and especially through Focus on the Family's exposure, he came to present the conference, which you're going to view starting tonight. And so with that background, I'd like to share with you today what this conference is all about and how it's different from every other marriage conference I've ever seen. Ephesians 5:33, the single verse that I'll focus on today, says, "Each individual, meaning husband among you, is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." Do any of you remember when the Beatles sang "All You Need Is Love"? Or maybe there's a few of you here who remember the old song, love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. And there's endless numbers of songs that have that sentiment. And for years, our country has bought the truth that love is an essential thing in marriage. In fact, we often think love is the only thing that's required in marriage. Women have loved this message because that's their mother tongue. They love to talk that way. Men have kind of bought into that because it made sense. But what nobody understood or nobody seemed to see, and it's been in Scripture all this time, it's interesting because as I looked at the commentaries on this verse just recently, they all emphasize the love. No one talks about the respect. And it's almost like it's there, but it's blinded to people. They can't see that there. The fact is the love isn't all that you need. Respect is just as important. 5 out of 10 marriages are ending in divorce because love is simply not enough. Love is vital, especially for the wife, but it's no more important to her than respect is for the husband. Listen to one couple who discovered the Love and Respect marriage conference just in time. My husband and I attended your Love and Respect Marriage Conference a few days before we had gotten into another crazy cycle and decided we had had enough and were going to end our marriage. We were both hurt, sad, angry, and despondent. By the way, we are both believers and members of a large church. We had been seeing a Christian marriage counselor, and I can honestly say your conference not only saved our marriage, but actually helped us more and gave us more information and strategies than counseling ever did. We had decided to go as a last-ditch effort, but my husband didn't really believe it would help and almost didn't go. The truths God has revealed to you are both simple and profound. They started a healing process and revolutionized our marriage. If only we had been given this information 30 years ago, what heartache and pain it would have saved us. And this is why I'm glad that Kent mentioned that no matter how long you've been married, this is probably new information to you, expressed in a new way, in a way you've never heard it before, and something that is going to touch your heart as surely as it has touched thousands and thousands of other hearts. This wife goes on to end this testimony saying, "Let me just say, after the last session, we spent the best afternoon and evening with each other we have had in years. It was like we were in our 20s again and so in love." And that's what God wants to happen in every single marriage. Now we start here, and tonight you'll hear about the crazy cycle. The crazy cycle is where most marriages spin far too often. Without knowing it or even being aware of it, most married people actually motivate their spouse to react to them in a way that exasperates and irritates them. We don't think we want to do that, and we really don't want to do that, but the way we act causes them to react that way to us. But the worst development over time is when we come to blame our spouse for any problems, any lack of communication, any trouble in our marriage. We fail to see why our arguments never seem to get resolved. We fail to see why we can't get along the way we used to get along. And if we haven't given up and we wish our marriage could be better, we don't see how it could ever be. And it's because we spin in this crazy cycle. You see, the crazy cycle is what occurs naturally to us to do. In our sinful self, we react to our spouse in a way, if they don't give us what we need, we think we're not going to give them what they need either, except we don't even have to think that, we just act that way. It's a kind of love that I'm going to explain in a minute that just doesn't work, even though most people think that's the kind of love that God gives us. The crazy cycle leads us to statements and fears like this, and you'll hear some of this tonight. What men fear most. She fears being a doormat. He's tired of just not getting it. She worries about being a hypocrite. He complains, "I get no respect." She thinks she cannot forgive him. He says, "Nobody can love that woman." Now, when you hear these things, we can laugh now, but the people that say these things are not only deadly serious about them, they're hurt, they're bitter, they're angry. And when a marriage reaches this point, almost all the time it ends in divorce. Communication is further hampered and disrupted because of the difference between pink and blue. Women communicate through pink eyes, pink ears, and a pink tongue. Men communicate through blue eyes, blue ears, and a blue tongue. And because we have never understood this, and we've tried to figure out for generations and thousands of years what our spouse is really saying to us, without knowing, the reason is because they're speaking in a different tongue than we're usually liking to hear. Love is the mother tongue for women. Respect is the mother tongue for men. And because men will talk to their wives in a respect language that they don't know, the women can't understand it and can't think their husbands, quite frankly, are a little bit less than they are. Women talk to their husbands in the language of love, and men have never understood that too well, and so we think our wives are a little bit off the case. And if nobody ever explains it to you, you're never going to benefit from what God has designed. You will learn the implications and this phenomenon and how to use it to improve understanding and to stay off the crazy cycle before it begins to spin. And he'll explain that in great detail tonight. You and your spouse need to get on what he calls the energizing cycle. Now, in the energizing cycle, you do the thing that your spouse needs. Wives need love, husbands need respect. And they each need them equally. The fact in the past we've only emphasized love and we've said, husbands, love your wives and then she'll be happy and she'll love you back. We don't want love back as husbands. We want respect back. Now, we'll take the love. And quite frankly, because women love so naturally, few husbands doubt that their wives love them. They know they love them. The question is, do they like them today? And that comes to the question of respect. But God starts with the husbands here. He says, husbands, you're repeatedly commanded to agape love your wife. Now, the word agape is the Greek word for love that is only ever assigned to God's kind of love. The Greeks had three words for love that in our English Bibles all translate into the word love. And unless you know the word behind it, you don't really know what God's talking about. There's one word the Greeks had, the lowest kind of love, was eros, meaning erotic love, which is physical sexual love. Then there was another one, moving up the ladder, to phileo love, which is a love that is kind of brotherly love. Philadelphia, the city, comes directly from two Greek words, the city of brotherly love. And that's a love where you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. It's a 50-50 love. This is the kind of love most people enter marriage with, and they think it's going to go just fine. You do your part, I'll do my part, and everything will be fine in the end. But agape love is the kind of love that is only described when talking about God, because this is a love that gives and loves no matter what the response is. In the last few days, I've ordered and now have seen the movie Fireproof. How many of you have seen that movie Fireproof? In the movie Fireproof, you have a couple who at the beginning is not Christians, and they're in this marriage pretty much the way I'm describing, except they're constantly spinning on the crazy cycle. The thing you hear out of that husband's mouth over and over again in that movie is, I don't get any respect. She never gives me any respect. And the thing that she's trying to say to him is, now using so many words, but you don't really love me. And so they're each accusing the other of not giving what they need. And it's not until in that movie, the husband, even though he's given this love dare, and he works through the first 20 days, he's not really in it. His heart's not in it. Because he's not a Christian, he doesn't understand love from God's perspective. And when it's not working through 20 days, he finally has a meeting with his father and tells his father, I'm going to quit. I'm not going to do this anymore. Because it's not working. It won't work. How can I love a woman who constantly rejects me? How can I love a woman who constantly rebuffs me? How can I love a woman who's constantly accusing me of everything? And his father, while listening to this, is walking over to a cross. And when he gets done with his barrage of questions, the father turns to him and he says, good question, and he just looks up at the cross. And for the first time, that husband understands that that's the kind of love that God has for us. We reject him. We rebuff him. We tell him he doesn't know what he's doing. And yet, what does God do? Why do we love? Because God first loved us. If God had not first loved us, we could not love him. We could not love one another. And yet because he does love us and pours that very kind of love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us, according to Romans 5, that kind of love is in us. So husbands, we can do this. Now, what are the verses? Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Ephesians 5:28, husbands ought to also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Ephesians 5:33, each individual among you is also to love his own wife, even as himself. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Every time, the word behind love is agape. Agape love your wife, agape love your wife. And then in addition to this, 1 Peter 3:7 commands you husbands in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. And wives love it if we'd live with them in an understanding way. Gentlemen, we read these passages and we do our best effort to do them without understanding what we're supposed to do. But love is the mother talk of women, not us. And so if God commands us to do something that is foreign to us, we better pay attention when he speaks on the subject, don't you think? And when the conference, what you're going to hear is a little word called couple, using the letters of the word couple as an acronym, he's going to give a word to each one of those letters. And he's going to teach you husbands how to love your wives the way they want to be loved, the way God designed them to be loved, the way agape love would work. And when you hear those five principles and you see right before your eyes what you should have been doing, and then understand what the husband in Loveday or in Fireproof learned, that as God has loved you, so you can love your wife in this way. But now the flip side. Wives, ladies, you're commanded to respect and submit to your husband in Scripture. Ephesians 5:22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. 1 Peter 3:1-6, in the same way you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word, by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God, and I might add, in the eyes of your husband as well. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. And then Ephesians 5:33, the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Now there's two words used here, submit and respect. And what we need to understand is, again, what God is communicating through those two words. The word submit in Scripture was originally a military term. And it was used to describe how soldiers would line up under the authority of their commanding officers. And what it comes to understand is that God, when he says submit, he says, I want you to voluntarily line yourself underneath the authority that God has given you. Husbands are the God-given authorities for their wives. But husbands, we cannot demand that our wives do this. Understand what I said? It's a voluntary submitting. We can't command them to do it. We can't expect them to do it. But if they're listening and obeying to God, they will voluntarily do that. But they can go through the motions of doing that without having their heart in it. And that's where the word respect comes. When it says the wife must see to it that she respects her husband, this is really interesting because the word used here in the Greek is normally used to mean something that's terrifying or frightening. And what it really means in this context, as Strong's Concordance put it, to reverence, venerate, to treat with deference and reverential obedience. When it's said in there, Subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. I don't want husbands to get the idea that we're suddenly God. But our wives, you women are supposed to subject yourselves to your husband as though it was God. To reverence, venerate, to treat with deference, a reverential obedience. Now, ladies, you read these verses, you have for years. You've done what you thought was the right thing in trying to do it. But understand, respect is a man's mother tongue, not yours. So if God is trying to tell you something, commanding you to do something that is foreign to you, ladies, then you better pay attention when God speaks to you. And it's either tomorrow night or Tuesday night, you're going to hear the acronym is CHAIRS, on how to respect a husband. And he will have letters, words for each of those letters. And by the time you're done hearing that, ladies, you'll understand, perhaps for the first time in your life, how to respect your husband the way they need to be respected, the way God designed them to be respected, in a way that's going to speak to their hearts like nothing else can. But finally, there's the rewarded cycle. You have the crazy cycle, the energizing cycle, then the rewarded cycle. It's for those situations in which we don't feel like treating our spouse with the love or respect they need. Not only does God command husbands to love their wives and wives to respect their husbands, but he expects us to do this unconditionally. What if your husband doesn't show you love when you show him respect? What if your wife won't show you respect when you love her? What if love and respect seems not to work at all? Then why bother? Well, the rewarded cycle gives us the answer to those questions. In fact, the rewarded cycle in reality is the most important session, and it's the last one on Tuesday night. If you're going to miss the first four, at least get to the last session on Tuesday night. This is the session that you don't have in most other marriage conferences. It's the one they never talk about. They'll tell you how to do it, but they won't tell you what to do when the other person won't cooperate. And what we can see here is that the major reason many couples remain somewhere between the crazy cycle and the energizing cycle is the fear that even though they try to practice love and respect, their spouses aren't going to respond. It won't work. Here are some sample remarks. My fear is that I'm going to move forward in good faith, but my spouse will mistreat me. My wife will continue to show disrespect, riding a bigger broom than ever. My husband will continue to be unloving. He will re-enroll in A1 jerk school and be the first in his class. And we laugh again, but because we genuinely have those fears, if we do this, Satan keeps us from practicing it because he'll tell us and put the idea in our minds, this is going to backfire. This will never work in your marriage. It may have worked for them, but it won't work for you. And he's going to continually try and show us that if we do this, it'll be a disaster when God says it's the only way I can bless you. The rewarded cycle puts the way we treat our spouse on a higher godly plane. In the final analysis, we love our wife and respect our husband because God commands it, not to get the kind of response we want from our spouse. You're going to hear in this conference the little phrase, my response is my responsibility. In other words, the way I react to my spouse, regardless of what they're doing to me, is my responsibility. They don't make me do what I do. No one makes me do what I do. Satan can't make you do what he wants you to do. He can put the suggestion in your mind. He can give you the thought to do it. But you don't have to do what anyone thinks you're making them do. There is no getting past accountability to God in love and respect. We can be hurt, we can experience hurts, but if we choose to hate, that's our choice. When someone hurts us, If we respond in hate and bitterness and anger, we chose to do that. If instead, when we're hurt, let's say a wife is hurt by her husband, as happened in Fireproof, she chose to hate. What he chose to do when his father talked him into it was, in the face of all that hate, to show love instead. And when he made this choice to do what God was telling him to do, over many, many, many repeated practices, when there was deep, deep hurt and no way out, God provided a miracle that no one expected at the beginning of that film. When we love our wife, we're really loving God. When we respect our husband, we're really respecting God. In fact, our obedience in this area is the best indicator of our love and respect for God himself, since he is the one that commands us to do it. I can just tell you from the marriages that I've seen, those that have put this into practice, it is amazing what God has done. For years, you ladies have wanted to be loved in a way that you know will make you happy. For husbands, it's never been voiced before this, virtually, but now it's going to be voiced in this conference, that we've always wanted to be respected in a way that would make us feel happy. And each one has been trying to make the other happy in what they thought would work. And by the looks of it, it hasn't worked too well. It's amazing to me that in the church, the divorce rate is the same or exceeding that we see in society. In our county, down in Morris and Grundy County, a few years ago, we went to the courthouse and just got the marriage statistics. And to our shock, we discovered Grundy County had not a 50% divorce rate like most of the country. They had an 85% divorce rate. And then we checked in the counties around us, and just to our north, which I think is Kendall County, one year they had a 104% divorce rate. And it became obvious to us that it was far worse in our environment than even the national average. You can go to your county courthouse tomorrow and just ask them for 2008 how many marriage licenses were issued and how many divorce decrees were issued. You divide one by the other, you get the percentage. So in Morris, and we're anxious to see now in 2008, if we've had any effect, because we've done Love and Respect twice as a community event down there. Almost 250 people in Morris have gone through this. And we're hoping by God's grace, by his mercy, and by his spirit, that he will begin to bring the divorce rate down in our county as couples begin to understand love and respect. As an encouragement to you, when we ran this the first time down there, the mayor of our town and his wife, at the last minute, decided to go. They'd heard about it, but they hadn't made any plans to go to it. And Friday night, we ran our Friday night and all day Saturday. Friday night, they decided, we got to go to that. Let's just see what it's about. Well, with that kind of great motivation to go, at the end of the conference, they were so excited. They bought one set of the DVDs for themselves, and they bought another set to give to our public library so everybody in Morris could check that out and watch it. Last we checked, there's a waiting list to see these DVDs because the word's getting around down there. And I hope the same thing happens here, that as you find out, and then as you tell your friends and neighbors and people that work with you, what God is doing through this, it's just going to spread in this area as well. Maybe you'll get a community marriage covenant in this area so that all the churches work together like we have down in Morris. I don't know what God's going to do with this, but I do know this. If you don't come tonight and tomorrow night and Tuesday night, you're going to miss out on one of the greatest blessings God has ever designed for you. And as Pastor Sperry told you, if you've been married 50 years, You may be the ones that say, I wish I'd learned this 30 years ago. If you're newly married, this is going to save you so much grief and pain. If you're thinking about getting married in the future, you're going to have the greatest head start anybody's ever had toward that venture. And we know that God works through this like I've never seen him work through anything else. Psychological studies affirm it. The Bible has been saying it for ages. Unconditional respect is as powerful for a man as unconditional love is for a woman. It is the secret to a God-pleasing marriage that every couple seeks, but few couples ever find. And so you're being given the opportunity that few others are ever given tonight, tomorrow night, and Tuesday night to come and learn what God has to say on this subject. Do you want peace? Do you want to feel close to your spouse? Do you want to feel understood? Do you want to experience marriage the way God intended it? And try some love and respect. Try doing it God's way for a change. After all, God is the one who created you. God is the one that created your spouse. God is the one that created your marriage. If you don't let him tell you how to do it, how do you expect it to work? And with that, I thank you and encourage you to come tonight. And I pray that you will, in Jesus' name, amen.